Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentius from Kent State University, and this week's show is an update from a show of about a year and a half ago, when Dr. Clarice Ramisarda, contributing editor, spoke with Dr. Jack Culbreth, both from the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, regarding KCREP standards and the current standards revision process. Dr. Culbreth is the current chair of the KCREP Board of Directors.
To all of our listeners, and I'm here with Dr. Clarice Ramisarda. I'm here with Dr. Jack Culbreth. We had last spoke, Jack, back in March of 2006.
A long time ago.
It was a long time ago, about all the many different things that KCREP was exploring. It was in the middle of, you were just starting, you were in your second draft stage with the revisions and exploring a number of other options. And so now that we're in the fall of 07, I was hoping that maybe we could hear some of how things have been going and what lies in, on the horizon for all of us.
All right. Well, I think several things were really on the front burner, if you will. We had a lot of things going on when we talked last. We talked about, I think, the core KCREP merger possibility, and we also talked about standards revision and a bunch of stuff like that. And a few other smaller details, but so we can talk about that, and then also I want to give some information about updating just some new things that are happening at KCREP at our office. I can start with that first. The KCREP office has moved. We now have office space actually away from ACA, the ACA headquarters. We moved into a much larger area, and that's been been a much needed move in terms of space, and it just kind of fit with our overall efforts to separate and become truly independent from ACA, which has been something that the organization has been working towards and ACA has been supportive of for many years. And so now we're financially independent and physically independent.
So you have been housed in Alexandria?
Yes,
where ACA's headquarters are?
At the Stevenson Avenue address, and now we are down closer down towards the waterfront in Alexandria on North Fairfax Street.
Okay.
And it's a nice suite of offices, and it's also part of our expanding staff. We have a new staff member coming on in January, and he will be the Associate Director of Accreditation, and that is a doctoral level staff. And I think that's just another example of the growth of KCREP and what they're doing and how we're just continuing to evolve as an organization. So we're looking forward to having this person come on, and the new offices have just been a big help for the staff there.
Okay, yeah, definitely very exciting.
Another interesting little item, and it's actually related to standard revision, at our July board meeting this past July, the board voted and approved a resolution that, starting with the 2009 standards, we will be expecting all self-studies to come in electronically on CD. Now, we have a format for that that's listed, posted on the webpage, but one of the things that has been in the past has been that's been voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly about 50% of our self-studies, once we pass that as an option, about 50% come in electronic. But now we will be looking for all the self-studies to come in with the next set of standards as electronically formatted self-studies.
And you had said that was when the new standards started in 2009, and so what about for the programs that may be up for review or for those self-studies either this year or in 2008?
The option is still open. It won't be a requirement until the 09 standards go into effect. The way the 09 standards will, in fact, go into effect is that the board will vote on the final draft in July of 08, and then the programs will have that year, that fiscal year, to prepare. So if they are ready they're required to go up in 09. They'll have that whole year to have the new set of standards available and prepare their self-study. And so then in 09, those self-studies that we would expect to get in 09, we will be expecting them to come in a CD format. And that's going to help a great amount. One, just in terms of convenience. We're moving to this electronic process, which I think fits with, so many other areas. Our journals are, we have the electronic journal submission process for so many of our journals. And I think that it will also help with our costs, just in terms of mailing these big boxes of these self-studies and these volumes and volumes of pages and pages. And it's just, it's quite heavy and quite expensive to mail all that stuff. And so that's going to help a lot. And, to have your entire self-study on one CD or two CDs, I mean, that's dramatically different. And, it's, eco-friendly or tree-friendly, We don't need the paper. Why use it? And so I'm looking forward to that. The electronic self-studies that I've seen and that I've worked with have just been very well done. Of course, there are always electronic glitches, but we've got ways to take care of that for the programs, and I don't think that would be a big problem. So, an electronic self-study, I enjoy because it's right there in front of me on a computer. I can scroll through and hit hyperlinks and go straight to documents, and I don't have to do a lot of leafing through these big three-ring binders. And I know that people aren't particularly thrilled with having to put together those big three-ring binders either. So I'm looking forward to this being a good step for the organization.
Okay. And you said all of the guidelines will be needed for any programs who have not gone to an electronic format yet. They'll all be posted, I imagine.
Yes. There's the approved document that describes the format for the electronic submission process is on the webpage. And so it's all, you just download it. And it gives an idea of, how we want it formatted and what you need to do and so on. So it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. And so we're currently in which revision now of the standards?
We're in the third revision. That's been posted. It's on the webpage. You can download that. And it's in a Word document or a PDF document. And what's really interesting, and I think very helpful for this draft, is that it has a document at the very beginning that talks about the differences in this draft, what's been changed, what are key points that need to be looked at, and an overview of the whole standards revision process. So it gives people a little bit more information about what they need to look at in the draft, what's important to them, and so on. A couple of key things I'd like to point out with the draft that I think are very important. One, in the very first draft, the Standards Revision Committee, which I'll refer to as SRC, the Standards Revision Committee merged the community and mental health program and got a lot of feedback on that. I thought that it was a very good idea for them to put that out there in the very first draft to kind of see what the community of counselor educators and the profession felt about that, see how they felt about it. And then, so when they did the second draft, they split them back apart based on feedback. The interesting thing about that, though, was they got, I believe, if I remember correctly, they got a whole bunch of feedback after they split them apart. Well, why didn't you keep them together? So, in this third draft, they have merged them back again, and it is now the merged program called Clinical Mental Health. And so I think that's going to be a really nice unification of community and mental health into this new area, and it just makes sense. The two areas oftentimes are considered very similar, so why not just unify it and make it into one? And it's not as confusing for people. It's not as confusing for licensure boards. It's just overall, I think, a much more streamlined approach. So we've got that. In this third draft, we also have a whole new specialty area called addictions counseling. So we've got that. That's a new development that we haven't seen in any previous drafts. We also have the infusion of emergency preparedness language, which is in response to the grant that we received from the federal government to look at the introduction of emergency preparedness training of counselors and trying to address preparation of professionals for when we have national disasters, whether they're natural or whether they're, terrorist or wartime or whatever. So we have infused that into the training overall, and I think that's going to be a real big plus for programs. I think a lot of programs are doing
variations of that. But I think this actually gives it a lot of, what would be the word, makes it stand out clearly as, you know, this is important for us to do, and it's an important recognition of what counselors do anyway. You know, when you look at counseling today, over the past couple of years and all the work that counselors have done down in the Gulf Coast area after the hurricanes, and all the work that we do when there are disasters, this is just a logical outgrowth for the profession. So we've got that. And
then, that'll be for across master's and doctoral level?
Right now, I think it's infused mostly in the master's. I would have to go back and look on the doctoral. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I do know it's in the master's level program.
Okay.
And then the last really interesting thing, and I think it's important for programs to start thinking about this, and that is that in the 2009 standards, we've got, we're trying to respond to the movement for accountability. And in standards, that translates to outcome effectiveness, essentially. How are we affecting positive training outcome in our students? And we have infused a substantial amount of outcome effectiveness type language into the next set of standards, and I think that that is probably going to be one of the biggest pieces to this set of standards that I think has been under the radar so far with the two previous drafts. I have not heard a lot of people talking about that at conferences when we've had our standard revisions meetings at various conferences. You don't hear a lot of people talking about the measures of outcome in our students, whether that's master's or doctoral level. But when you look at the program specialty areas, that's a big part of the whole specialty areas. How are you measuring whether or not what you're training is effective?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, of course, we've seen a lot of that over the past several years at the federal government level, and we're seeing it infused into more and more professional accreditation bodies, and I think that's a very logical thing for us to consider doing as well. I just get concerned, though, because I'm not hearing people talking about that at the various conferences, and I think that people are missing it, and so I think we need to really begin talking about that as a profession, and the different programs need to start paying attention to that, documenting the effectiveness of your program. A lot of people are really still talking about the counselor educator requirement, but I would say that that's a very that's a much less important issue for programs at this stage than the outcome of effectiveness parts of the standards. So I think that right now, you know, the standards revision committee, they're still continuing to work. They're collecting feedback right now at this time, and will be until somewhere in the early part of December. And then they'll collect all that feedback, and they will put together revisions, and they will submit those revisions to the board for consideration at the July meeting, July 2008. That will not be a public commentary draft. That will be the final draft that the board considers. And then they'll vote on it at the July meeting, and then it will go into effect as of July 1, 2009.
Okay.
So we're coming to the end of an interesting process, a long process. It started back in, I believe it was mid-2004. We may have even started talking about it in early 2004. So this is not something that happens overnight, that's for sure.
And I know your time as chair is starting to draw to a close, which we'll maybe come to in a minute, but will you be part of the final voting?
No, I will not be. I will be off the board that June 30th.
Hmm.
So, I kind of have some regrets about that. I was looking forward to voting for it, but I think that, I don't have any concerns, certainly, about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's been interesting, and this is something that's in this draft three, which they included, the SRC included, which I was real happy to see, and that is they included, I believe on page two, the board's charge to the SRC. The board had decided that there were several things that we were interested in this, the SRC addressing, and so we prepared a formal charge for the SRC and things that we wanted them to look at based on our experience as a board, and I think that they have done that, and so I'm not worried about whether I'm on the board when they vote or not.
Okay.
They're moving forward with it, and it's going well.
I guess I'll just leave it for you. It's just a matter of kind of closing the process after being so involved.
Yeah, there is a closure issue there, but this will just be another emotional growth opportunity for me. So.
And I noticed that you mentioned in the standards that there's a new section created to do with substance use addiction.
Yes.
And I guess I remember that we had talked back in March of 06 about the possibility of a merger with CORE.
Yes.
So I just wanted maybe to share with us a little bit about what's going on and if this addictions is a response.
No, it's not. That's a completely separate issue, the addictions area. It's just we felt like. And there's been some research over the years that have looked at where our graduates go to work, and a substantial number of counseling program graduates do go work in addictions treatment fields. And so we felt like it was reasonable to consider whether or not an addiction specialty should be offered. And so we've got that in the draft, and we're kind of looking forward to people providing feedback on that addiction specialty and what how they feel about it. But that is actually not related to CORE at all. So we were talking about merger with CORE, and it's interesting because, you know, in all my time in working with the CORE board, which I've really respected their efforts and their work, the CORE board, we've talked about the history of this kind of merger conversation over the years, and, you know, for a long time, the two organizations just were not interested in talking about it, whether it was KCREP or CORE. I mean, both of them at different times were not interested in discussing merger. And so for that to be the history, and then for us to have gotten to the point that we got to this past year with discussing and actually putting forward votes to merge the two organizations, I feel like was quite a success. And we worked this past year, 2006-2007, with a task force that we had put together, and it was five KCREP board members and five CORE board members. That included the executive directors of each. And we met three times over the course of the year, and for at least a day, in some cases 2 days, to hammer out what might be a merger resolution. And we discussed details, what that would look like, how it would work, and what are the key areas that would be the stumbling blocks to a merger, and what could we negotiate and discuss and how we could address that. That resulted in a merger resolution that was put forward for a vote to both of the boards at their respective July board meetings. The CORE board met the week before the KCREP board. The KCREP board voted unanimously to merge the two organizations. The CORE board did not vote on the merger resolution. They chose not to. They expressed concerns about two specific areas that the next set of standards that we were moving forward with would be a problem, in part because of the faculty identity piece and the rehab community and where they come from in terms of their faculty identity, and also the faculty required numbers in terms of minimum number. And CORE requires two, or KCREP requires three. So they decided not to merge, which I've shared with the board members, the CORE board members, and my disappointment with that, but that was their decision to not vote. And we were obviously, given our vote, we were definitely interested in pursuing the merger.
Mm-hmm.
But we gave it a very, very strong good faith effort, and KCREP will move forward, and we'll continue doing what we're doing, and just move on from here. So I think that the merger at this stage of the game is finished in terms of conversations.
Okay. And just for, if you could just refresh us again, and CORE is, what exactly CORE is?
The rehab counseling community.
Okay.
And there's a lot of diversity within the rehab community, and I think maybe that presented some of the challenge as well. And by diversity, I mean, what are the different areas that a rehab counselor might work in? So whether they're a rehab administrator, a rehab counselor, a disability administrator, any number of things like that. So I think that was part of the challenge, but they're really focused on rehab, and we're focused on the larger counseling community.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually a very challenging difference to address, but again, my hat's off to the task force that worked with us on this, both the KCREP and CORE. We had developed what we felt like were good grandfathering clauses for those two areas, the faculty identity and the number of faculty. We had in the merger resolution a 10-year window to be able to come up to the expected standards, but the core board just, I think, felt like that wouldn't work well in the rehab community, and so they chose not to vote on it. Mm-hmm. So that's where that one stands, and it's like I said, I met some people that in the rehab community that I really enjoyed working with, and some very, very enjoyable people. Trying to think of what else. KCREP is working with several countries right now, talking about accreditation and how we can help. Since last time you and I talked, March of 2006, I've been to Venezuela talking to Venezuelan counselor educators. I've been to India as part of the MBCC's Global Conference on Counseling, mm-hmm. talking to people there. And then this past spring, I was in Buenos Aires talking to counselor educators down in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And it's been really, really interesting as more and more countries and counselor education communities are interested in accreditation, whether it's an international accreditation or whether it's a national accreditation. It's been real interesting talking to them and seeing a lot of the similarities just across the world in the counseling profession. And there are so many similarities. It's just amazing to me. We're going to be going to several more countries this next year and promoting accreditation standards. We've had just many inquiries from Middle Eastern countries, Asian countries, European countries, South America, Central America. So we feel real good about where KCREP's standing is in terms of the larger community, and we like the idea of looking at counseling as a global community, and that we've been doing accreditation for a while, but we also are learning from other areas of the world in terms of how they're doing accreditation. Some of them are, mm-hmm. And we continue to learn and continue to offer some of our experiences as good learning experiences so that they don't have to repeat some of our same mistakes. And hopefully, we can help other countries and we can also learn from other countries. So that's been really interesting, is the international development. But really fun.
That's very timely, too.
Yeah, very, very timely. I think that the counseling community has an opportunity to look at things from a global perspective beyond just the borders of the United States. And really, we talk about social justice. We talk about providing services to people who have no access to services anywhere in their country. I think the counseling world can help with that. So I think it'll be a positive thing for the discipline over the next 10 to 20 years. So I was trying to think. I think as far as updates, I don't know if you have any specific questions, but that's about where we are at this stage.
I guess maybe you'll be off the board, you said, June 30th?
Yes, I'll be finishing up June 30th.
So maybe if you could give you a chance to do a little reflection on your time with KCREP, and I think we had talked that you certainly had a very active time as during your chair term.
Well, and that's true. That's been real interesting because a lot of things that started well before my time on the board have seemed to come to fruition during my time on the board and during my time with in the position of chair. I think that there are several things that come to mind. I do think that we've moved several things forward, which I think are going to be very beneficial. Our financial independence, that's a big thing. That was one of my personal agenda items in the position of chair. I think that looking down the road, continued efforts to unify the counseling field and to keep us in the, we do believe that for the counseling field, KCREP is the accreditation organization, and we want to do everything we can to continue to maintain unity, because with unity is a larger voice, and a larger voice with the people that matter in terms of legislators and advocating for the profession. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big, big thing. I would like to see us get licensure in the last state, and would certainly love to see that happen relatively soon. I think for KCREP itself, there are a number of things that I think that we're moving and working towards and moving forward with, the whole internationalization efforts. and our work with MBCC has just been instrumental with that. I've been able to, from my position as chair, been able to start coordinating a meeting between the three leaders of the organizations, MBCC, ACA, and KCREP. And we've met once. We did that in May. And I met with the ACA president, MBCC chair, and then the three executive directors. And that was a very, very positive, helpful meeting. Just kind of the six of us sitting around the table brainstorming and talking about issues and what's on the horizon. And it was a really good conversation among the six of us. And so I've been in touch with Brian Canfield and Linda Foster, the ACA president and MBCC chair. We've tentatively got a new date scheduled for the next meeting, and hopefully in November. And, you know, it's hard to get everybody's schedule, especially when we're talking about travel. But I think that's a big plus for the field when the three primary organizations, membership, certification, and accreditation, get together and talk and hash out issues and try to sort through how we can promote the profession. And I look, whether it will happen after I'm gone, I don't know, but I certainly hope that it will, just because I think having the opportunity to sit down and address things with the ACA president or MBCC chair is a big benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It can have to help the KCREP, and I think, you know, accreditation can help the other too. So I look forward to that continuing if there's a need for it. And this next set of standards, you know, when you think about it from the standpoint of standards, I mean, these standards are going to be in effect till 2016, which is a long ways away.
Yeah.
And we will probably start, if they hold true to form, they will probably start talking about standard revision in 2012. And that's not long from now.
No, it's not.
It's not very far away. Back when we were first starting this process before, you know, we all talked about how far away it was, but it's really not. And so this set of standards, I think, is really going to be an excellent step for the field, and I'm really, really excited about the future there. In terms of KCREP, we've done our transition really well, I think. We've transitioned our board from a division-appointed board to a self-appointed board, and we've transitioned our finances in that regard and overall. And I think that, you know, we've brought on new board members through the process. We went through that process first time this past year. We had five new board members that came on, and I think that they all are just going to be very good board members. One public member, and then one practitioner, and three counselor educators. And I think that they represent a lot of expertise and a lot of relationships and connections with other organizations, and I think that's going to be beneficial. So I feel real good about where the board is. And again, as I said earlier, the board and the organization, this transition started back in 2001. Had a retreat that the board had, and I think that, you know, we're seeing the work of two previous chairs, and it's just coming together under my time as chair. But, you know, Susan Seam and Mary Alice Bruce both, you know, kind of led this and really got this rolling. And so, on the good days, you know, I give them the credit, and on the bad days, I blame them for what they got me into. But it's mostly good days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to being done. This is my sixth year, and that's a long time to be on the board. I don't think it's too long, but it is a long time. And I think it's time to, well, move on and be done with it and say goodbye. But that won't happen until June, so I still got this year to play with it and have fun. And the other interesting thing is, you know, accreditation will always have a special place for me, and that's the way it ought to be. And I'll still be involved in site team visits and that kind of stuff, so it's not like I'm going to leave. But I do feel real good about where the board is.
I'm wondering, Jack, if you wouldn't mind maybe sort of kind of coming in, maybe just doing a brief review for us again. You had mentioned someone had the importance of, and I know that had been part of what you were hoping of KCREP moving to being, to really being truly independent financially and not physically have their own space. And can you just speak to us maybe just a little bit towards the end here about the significance of that and what, how does that,
I gather that that's a very good thing for KCREF as an accrediting body, but maybe why that is.
Okay. A couple things. You know, KCREF really, owes a start to, two different groups of people. There were a bunch of people early on, the counselor educators and people who developed the original standards, the whole idea of an accrediting body. And those people got things started 26, 27, 28 years ago. And that's one group. But the other group, quite honestly, is ACA. ACA has been supportive of KCREP from day one, and in particular in a financial way. I mean, the reality of the way KCREP's finances are, I mean, we're not a big money-making organization. I mean, we have operated pretty much at a break-even budget since inception. Early on, the budget consisted in large part from ACA. That's where, they supplemented our finances and supplemented us all the way up until June 30th of 2007. And so what ended up happening was as KCREP grew, we're at about 210 institutions right now, roughly. I could give or take a little. We're at over 200 institutions, and as those institutions' numbers grew, our, of course, budget and our income increased, and that reduced the percentage, if you will, of ACA subsidy. However, it always remained, and it was just the rest of our income grew. But even still, with today's day and time, I mean, salaries and all that, and all the expenses of site visits and all of the paperwork and everything, it's been a break-even organization financially. It was important, I felt, that KCREP become financially independent just in terms of the separation from ACA. And again, that's not that there was a problem with that. It was an issue of, being attentive to the financial issues of the whole profession, both the ACA organization as well as KCREP. And, we've seen reductions in ACA membership, so it's not like, it's not like it was 100 by any stretch. No, I'm not suggesting that. But the fact is, that they have been experiencing a reduction in membership, and in spite of counselor educators' efforts, I know, to get student members, it's still, we're in a tough financial time right now in our country, so I understand that. But we have tried to separate ourselves out because one of the big things that our accrediting body, by that I mean CHEA, the Council for Higher Education Accreditation, one of the things that they look for when they accredit accrediting bodies is a separation or an independence from associations. And that actually speaks to conflict of interest.
Okay.
And a good example of that has been the standards revision process that we've gone through over the past few years. We've had several organizations that have said to us, we would certainly like to help you in this process of standards revision and give you suggestions and consultation on these areas that we think could be real helpful. And that's certainly fine and good. The problem is we generally don't take consultation because the standards revision process is open to the entire professional community. And so for us to take consultation from one particular group suggests then that that group's approach is the way that it has to be. Well, CHEA recognizes conflict of interest in the accreditation process, and they want to set things in place so that organizations have as much independence and separation from influence in that accreditation process as possible. And so for us to be financially independent, I think that is a big plus. Now, I'm not suggesting that ACA has ever exerted pressure. It has been pretty much unconditional support, and that's always been a big plus. And so it's more a function of public perception and CHEA's perception and feeling that at this stage it was the right time and it is a developmental process. And I think we were able and prepared to do that. It's always, ACA is always willing, and we would certainly be willing to accept any checks they wanted to write for support of the organization. There's no question about that. I don't expect that, nor do I think that that's necessarily something we would go ask for, because we want to acknowledge that anybody could write us a check, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of support of accreditation, the mission of accreditation. But we certainly don't want anybody to expect that that includes strings.
Okay.
We don't want that to be there. And so it's trying to further promote the idea of no strings attached, accreditation decisions, and standards decisions that are not influenced by outside organizations. It's influenced by the profession as a whole.
Okay.
And that's, I think, probably the most unbiased way to approach it, mm-hmm. and that's important. And we have to present that as unbiased as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. In a nutshell, really big nutshell.
Thank you for that explanation. It helps to kind of clarify the importance and the, I think, the standards that KPREP is holding itself to and being held to by CHEA, their accrediting body.
Right. And they, you know, and CHEA is a good organization, and KPREP is a very significant member of CHEA. I speak highly of the efforts of Dr. Carol Bobby over the years, and she is very well known in the larger accreditation community through her work with CHEA and ASPA, Specialized Accreditors, and other organizations like that. The counseling profession is very well respected due in large part to her work and being involved in that. So, other than that, I can't think of anything else.
Nice. That was a final thought.
Nope, that's about it.
Well, we want to thank you for all of your time and energy and effort. I know that you put into all of your work with as chair of KPREP, in addition to your regular professorial duties as an associate professor now over at UNC Charlotte.
My regular full-time job.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's been good, so I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You've just heard an interview with Dr. Jack Culbreth, the current chair of the KCREP Board of Directors, regarding KCREP current standards revision process. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.